I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We had a really extensive conversation about Philip Rivers and the Hall of Fame on last night's show, and it was interesting to see various other talk shows and personalities pop up with their thoughts about Philip Rivers and whether or not he makes the Hall of Fame. I actually saw the DA show, which follows us here on CBS Sports Radio, with the exact opposite opinion that Philip Rivers is not the Hall of Famer, that I say he is. And so I think the discussion is an interesting one to have. Ultimately, though, you and I don't have any control over it. It's the selectors who decide how to narrow the field down to no more than five. And this year, there are 15 finalists, and they've already gone through and made the presentations. And now it's a matter of tabulating the votes. And I do not envy those who are in that decision-making process and have that ability to decide, because I hate disappointing people, and there are going to be some really disappointed candidates, some of whom don't have any other opportunities after this one. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Still ahead, Rob Gronkowski, Devontae Adams. Oh my gosh, great stuff from Devontae, who talks about why the Packers have to play this game for Aaron Rodgers. Trust me when I say it's dripping with sarcasm. And then we're also going to hear from Andy Reid about Patrick Mahomes and Alex Smith doing a podcast for Yahoo Sports, which I thought was really interesting. And a little more with Dan Campbell, just because he's biting kneecaps and such. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. You can also find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and take our poll on both Twitter and our Facebook page. If you could only watch one of the championship games this weekend, where are you investing your time? We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Rocket Mortgage is giving away millions during Super Bowl 55 with the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Squares sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free today at rocketmortgagesquares.com. That's my kind of Super Bowl Squares party. Free. Some of you go crazy when it comes to Super Bowl Squares. Right now, we're pleased to welcome Shireen Williams, who is a longtime NFL writer and insider for Pro Football Talk and also a Hall of Fame selector. Shireen, Happy New Year. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes with us. It was obviously a really big week for the Hall of Fame selectors, trying to trim this field of 15 finalists down to no more than five. What was it like with everything being done virtually this week?
Well, it was different because it wasn't the day before the Super Bowl like we normally do, with all of us gathered, 48 of us gathered in a room and discussing. And it was the longest, I think, in history because it was virtual. It went almost 9 hours. So it was a very, very long day of discussions, but I think it was very productive. And I think whoever the five are, we, of course, don't know who they are, but whoever the five are that come out of that group, I think we're going to be very pleased with the class. I think everyone expects Peyton Manning and Charles Woodson to be on that list of five, and we'll see who the other three are. And then, of course, you have Tom Flores and Bill Nunn and Drew Pearson, who I had the pleasure and honor of presenting this year, and hopefully all three of them get in. So we could have a really good class. It's obviously going to be a big weekend, bigger than normal in Canton come August, because we have all the presentations from last year in
right.
the special class that didn't get to go in. So it's going to be an incredible weekend in Canton in August. Hopefully we get to have it.
Did you guys get any breaks during that 9 hours, or was straight through?
Yeah, it wasn't much of a break. We had a couple, I think, two bathroom breaks, and that was about it. So it was it was not long. It was a very long day.
Well, at least that part is behind you. And as you say, there's a lot of men to be honored still moving forward, including last year's class. So that's one big box that gets checked off the list. Of course, there's a lot more that's being done right now in the world of the NFL. And maybe it's just me, but I'm a little bit surprised that some of the coaching hires, not that these guys aren't qualified, but that the names have kind of popped out of nowhere and really hires that I didn't see coming, like the latest with the Eagles. What's been your reaction to the different jobs you've seen filled over the past couple of weeks?
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think the biggest name out there was Eric Bieniemy, and he's still out there, unfortunately. And I think he deserves a head coaching job. Now, I do think he's one of the favorites in Houston. So I think there's still a chance. That's obviously the only opening left, but still a good chance that he ends up with the job. And I know Deshaun Watson wants him. We all know that. He's made that quite clear, and that may be the only thing that saves that relationship if it's savable. That we don't know yet if Deshaun Watson, you know, is willing to stay in Houston, is not going to request a trade, which he hasn't done so far. But I will be disappointed if Eric Bieniemy doesn't get a job for what he's done, and not to get a job over these last two hiring cycles and the lack of minorities, frankly, that we've seen. They, you know, the NFL and all these teams and owners made a big case of it, and we're going to fix this, and it's been the same old so far. And so, you know, I hope at some point we do see a change with more minorities getting chances. We did see a few more in front offices, and I think that was a positive step. But beyond that, you know, we really need to see more than just the words that we've been given. We need to see some action where they're actually giving these guys some chances. And I think it starts with the coordinator positions, getting some of these minorities in coordinator positions so they can step up. But as we've seen in this hiring cycle, you don't have to be a coordinator to be hired either. We've seen a lot of that in this hiring cycle.
What other steps could the league potentially take to try to foster more minorities getting these opportunities?
Well, I don't know. You know, they changed the Rooney Rule, so you have to have, you know, multiple, two or more interviews with minority candidates. That was a step, and we did see more interviews with those guys, obviously, because they had to, and then they gave the, you know, incentive with draft picks on the back end, which the 49ers, because they had a minority coach and a minority front office person, Martin Mayhew, went to the Washington football team as the general manager, because we saw those two, they'll get three third-round picks over the next 3 years, so three total third-round picks that they'll get. And, you know, that was supposed to help, too, incentivize some of these teams giving minorities more chances within the front office and within these coordinator positions so they can move on to bigger and better things. Either within that team or with other teams. So, you know, they feel like they've taken some steps, but we obviously didn't see that fruition into actual jobs.
Right.
For the most part, we just didn't see enough of that. So, again, I think it'll look better if Houston hires a minority coach, and particularly if it ends up being Eric Bieniemy, I think that would be terrific.
Yes, definitely rooting for him to get an opportunity after a couple of years of him being a top candidate. Shereen Williams of Pro Football Talk is with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. The Deshaun Watson conundrum to me is such a fascinating one. If I'm Houston, I do not want to be the franchise that traded away DeAndre Hopkins and then Deshaun Watson. And I don't. It's different than the NBA, where a lot of times when a player requests a trade, that's pretty much it. What are the options for the Texans, even if he would request a trade?
Well, you know, I think at that point, he has a no-trade clause, so you get his list of teams that. Well, first you try to repair the relationship. And none of us knows whether, I don't even know if the Texans know whether it's repairable or not at this point. But if you can repair that relationship, you certainly want to do that. I mean, I think we all would agree. I don't know who would disagree that Deshaun Watson's a top 10 quarterback in this league. And, you know, those guys, those franchise quarterbacks, there's only a handful of them. They don't grow on trees. You don't just go out and get one and, you know, say, all right, here he is. He's going to be our franchise guy. I mean, you know, they tried that with David Carr with the number one overall pick. They, you know, traded for Matt Schaub. They, you know, did all sorts of things to try to find that guy, and they finally got him in Deshaun Watson, and now you want to trade him? I mean, that's just crazy. You want to do whatever you can to make him happy, and maybe that's hiring Eric Bieniemy. But I certainly would go to him and say, what do we need to do here? How can we repair this relationship? That's number one. But if it's not salvageable, if he says, no, I need a trade, then I think at that point you go to him and you say, okay, you got a no-trade clause. Give us a list of the teams that you would go to. And then you have a bidding war among those teams. You're in the bidding for him. What's your best offer? And then you take the best offer that you can get for him. And to me, that's a quarterback on a roster, whether that's a Tua or, you know, Matthew Stafford or whoever that might be, whatever team. I think you're definitely getting their starting quarterback plus multiple draft picks. I mean, it would take an awful lot. You know, it would rank right up there probably with the Herschel Walker trade. It's one of the biggest trades in NFL history. We've seen a handful of those trades. And I think that would qualify as one of them because I think it would take an awful lot to get him from the Texans. It would be amazing for it to happen, you know, and to see Houston lose James Harden and then, as you said, DeAndre Hopkins, and then to lose this guy, too, just lost George Springer this week. I mean, you know, they're leaving Houston. So, you know, that's kind of my home territory down there. So I hate to see all those guys leaving all at once.
But just to clarify, Shireen, you would trade him no matter what, even though you don't have to?
No, I would not. I would try to repair that relationship. If he told me, I will stay. If you hire ex coach, whether that's Eric, I mean, we all think it's Eric Bieniemy, but whoever, whatever he would want to stay, definitely would do that. I would know you don't trade a top 10 quarterback ever. I mean, I just think that's a dumb idea. But if they've already gone past the point, you know, there's all sorts of things that he can do to force them. I mean, we saw it with James Harden. There's all sorts of things you can do to force a team to trade you, you know, and one of those ways would be not showing up at all. And, you know, I think that would kind of force the Texans' hand. But, no, if I'm the Texans, I'm trying to do whatever I can to salvage that relationship. And you know, they're still – you look at the year he had an amazing year,
yes.
An unbelievable year. But nobody talks about it because they won four games. So even with him doing what he did, they're still a long way off. That defense was horrible. They have no weapons. Will Fuller's a free agent. They have no money. They have no draft picks. I think they're a long way off from being a really good team, but they have the quarterback, and that's a really great place to start. They have the left tackle. That's another really great place to start. You got two of the cornerstones that you need. Now, how you fill in all those other holes, I don't know. But I do think they have two good starting points there with the left tackle and the quarterback if they can keep the quarterback and keep him happy.
That's just one of the questions about the quarterback position as we head into the new league year. Where do the Colts look for a replacement for the retiring Phillip Rivers?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, they, no pun intended, but they lucked into Andrew Luck after they had Peyton Manning, and they had the 1 year in there that was really utterly terrible that gave them the number one overall pick, that they could just kind of flow with one down year from one great quarterback to the next great quarterback. And then his retirement has left them kind of in a lurch, you know, with now looking for third quarterback. I guess it'll be fourth quarterback in 4 years. That they've had, and they all knew when they signed Phillip Rivers that he was a bridge guy, and Jacoby Brissett's a free agent too, and I think they decided after what they saw in 2019 that he wasn't the answer, which is why they went out and got Phillip Rivers. Now, I think that I think that Carson Wentz would fit what they do beautifully. And I think a trade for Carson Wentz would be great for Carson Wentz. It would be great for the Colts, great for him to start over. But it doesn't look like that's what the Eagles are going to do. It looks like they want to try again, like the Texans, to salvage Carson Wentz and make the best of him in a different way than Houston, but stick with the quarterback that they have, and they still think he can be a really good quarterback there with the Eagles and not trading him. Mm. So I don't know. When you start talking about where they draft and, you know, it's, as Chris Ballard pointed out, it's hard to find a quarterback, to hit on a quarterback in the first round. It's not guaranteed, and it's not about picking a quarterback. It's about picking the right quarterback if you draft one. So he certainly didn't make it sound like that would be the route they would go. And then you start looking at, okay, who can we trade for? Who's in free agency? Do we go with another bridge guy like a Ryan Fitzpatrick for 1 year or somebody like that that we can sign for 1 year? A Jameis Winston, whoever that might be, to get us through until we can find out what the answer is our franchise quarterback. But it's not a good position to be in, and it's now the second consecutive year that they're in. Well, third consecutive year, right. I guess, they're in this. They didn't know it when Andrew Luck retired before the 2019 season because he retired so late.
Gosh, it's not easy to constantly be changing coaches, much less quarterbacks, and yet Indianapolis is in that cycle, as are other teams. You mentioned one very intriguing name that I want to ask, even as we continue with the quarterback carousel, because I think there are some veteran guys that are out there that maybe might not be first choices, but if the musical chairs game ends up going that way and these teams are left without chairs, they might have to look at some of these different veteran options that are second tier choices. So Shireen Williams of Pro Football Talk, just hang on. We're going to take a quick break and we'll get back to you. Also, we want to talk Championship Sunday. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Jameis Winston, the former Bucs quarterback, checks in now. Kamara is lined up in the Wildcat. Winston is split out wide. Here's the snap. Kamara's going to give it to Sanders. Pitch it back to Winston. Winston's going to lob it deep. Got a man wide open. Caught at the 25. Down to the 20. 10-5. Touchdown, Tre'Quan Smith.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
If it wasn't the best pass by a Saints quarterback in the divisional round against the Buccaneers, it was at least one of the best passes. Revenge is a dish best served with some trickeration, as Jameis Winston had a laugh against his former team by throwing a 56-yard touchdown strike to Tre'Quan Smith. Ryan Radke with the call on the Westwood One radio network. Ultimately, of course, Drew Brees throws three interceptions. The Saints lose that turnover battle, and they get bashed by the Buccaneers in the second half. And so now the Bucs are on to the NFC Championship, and we await word on Drew Brees. We're spending a few minutes with Shireen Williams of Pro Football Talk here After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Excuse me. Shireen, thanks so much for hanging on. You talked about Jameis Winston before we took our break as we're kind of going through the various quarterback options. If Drew Brees retires, Sean Payton has already told us he believes the future quarterback is on the Saints roster currently. Could there be a bidding war for Jameis Winston if more than one team wants his services?
Yeah, you know, if I'm Jameis Winston, I certainly go back there and get a chance to start. And I think they like what they have in him, and I think he likes being there. I don't know how many bidding wars we're going to have with the salary cap going down and multiple teams having salary cap problems. And the Saints are among them. I think at this point right now they're an estimated $95 million over the salary cap,
gosh,
if memory serves. So they wouldn't be able to get in a bidding war, and I don't know how many teams would be able to get in a bidding war for anybody at this point. And I think there's going to be a lot of disappointed free agents on the market, and I think you're going to see a lot of one-year deals coming up this year. Obviously, with the pandemic, sure, has just forced that salary cap down. So I don't know if that's the case. I would expect Jameis Winston to go back to New Orleans unless somebody – does open up the checkbook and say, you know, we've got the money and we think you're our answer and we'll sign you to a one-year deal. If it works out for both of us, then we'll come back and give you a bigger deal. Then maybe that's the way he goes. But Yeah, I think there's a lot of quarterback questions right now all around the league. When you look at even a Dak Prescott, who remains unsigned with the Cowboys, they'll have to work out a long-term deal with him. And, you know, we mentioned Ryan Fitzpatrick and Jameis Winston and, you know, a lot of guys out there, Ryan, a lot of guys out there who are going to be free agency and maybe on the trade block moving forward. What do the Rams do with Jared Goff? You know, he's, unless they can do some sort of trade, he's on their roster for next year. That means he has to start, but it does mean that he's on their roster for next year. So you could see some of these guys moved maybe for next to nothing just to get some of that money off their plate and get them a chance to get a look at a different quarterback to move on. So I think you're going to see some of that too. It's going to be a really interesting offseason.
Do you think Andy Dalton could end up finding a starting job somewhere?
Yeah, he's another one. I think he played pretty well for Dallas when he got to play, and he's another guy that, you know, you could see him as a bridge quarterback. I don't know if anybody's going to look at him and go, hey, he's our quarterback of the future. We're going to give him a four or five-year deal. I don't think we're going to see that. But I do think he's a guy who will look for a starting job and probably go somewhere he can compete for a starting job. And I think he'll get that opportunity somewhere. Somebody will see him as a bridge quarterback. Maybe they draft a young quarterback. You know, maybe if Jacksonville doesn't want to start Trevor Lawrence. I think they will start Trevor Lawrence day one. But, you know, a team like that that's going to draft a quarterback and maybe they're not ready to start the guy. Like we saw what the Chargers were doing and going to plan to do until Tyrod Taylor had his unfortunate situation with his lung collapsing.
Right.
You know, they were going to sit Justin Herbert for the year. So you could see him in a situation like that where he's a, you know, a starter to start the season. If he plays well, he continues to keep the job. And if he doesn't play well or gets hurt, then the rookie comes in and plays.
Mm. And then in the immediate future, we have championship weekend. It's crazy because all of this other stuff is swirling around, but we still have to crown a champion this year. And the reigning champs are still alive, though they are waiting on their star quarterback to clear concussion protocol. So far, so good for Patrick Mahomes. Both of these games on Sunday, which I think is pretty interesting, are rematches of week six, though so much has changed since then. So thinking AFC and the great story that is the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen and Sean McDermott, what are a couple of keys that you see for the AFC championship?
Well, I think first is how's Mahomes, you know, I think we all expect him to play, but how's that toe? You know, we haven't talked a lot about that toe. And we saw him limping around in that game before he got knocked out of the game with the concussion. So how's that toe? Is it going to affect his mobility? Is it going to affect him in the pocket moving away from the pass rush? You know, he's so good at just drifting back. Is he going to be able to do that? So we're going to find out that early. I would expect Leslie Frazier to put some pressure on him early just to test how that toe is. Is he going to be able to run? He had 36 yards, I think it was, rushing against the Bills the last time they played. So, you know, is he going to be able to do that? To me, that's the top storyline of this game, is just exactly how good he's going to be. And then how, you know, on the other side, it's, I think you still go back to the quarterback. How good is Josh Allen going to play? You know, are they going to get in a shootout? And is he going to have to out-duel Patrick Mahomes in this game? And he's certainly capable of doing it. I mean, we've seen him do it most of the year. But the biggest game of his life, can he do it this week? So, you know, just an intriguing matchup with two young guns. And we're going to see how that plays out. And it's probably going to be the first meeting in the AFC Championship game of what I would expect to be a lot of playoff matchups between these two quarterbacks over the years.
For sure. It could be one of those kind of great blossoming relationships or rivalries, similar to what we saw with, say, a Tom Brady and a Peyton Manning. Of course, Tom Brady continues on and other quarterbacks retire. his 14th conference championship. And I love the fact that Lambeau hasn't hosted one of these in 13 years and that there will be some fans there. It's not just about the quarterbacks. You think about the pressure of these two defenses and whether or not they can make the opposing QBs uncomfortable. But what stands out about the NFC?
You know, it's obviously the Rodgers and Brady matchup. We saw it with Brady and Breeze last week. And I think you just appreciate these. You know, last week was probably Drew Breeze's last game. And, you know, we expect both of these quarterbacks to play again next year. But how many times are we going to get to see them play against each other? And I think you just appreciate that. getting to see them go head to head. And, you know, we all thought that we would see them in a Super Bowl at some point. It never happened. It got close to happening the year the Packers were up on the Seahawks, and the Seahawks came back and beat them in a game the Packers should have won, and that would have been a matchup between these two guys in a Super Bowl, and it didn't happen. So this is as close as it's going to get now with Brady in the NFC, and so I think that's kind of exciting just to see that quarterback matchup. But it should be a fun – I mean, both of these just look like fun matchups, and the quarterbacks obviously headline both of these matchups, but these rosters of all four of these teams are littered with superstars, which is which is why they are where they are. And there's going to be somebody that's going to step up in both games and play the part of hero, somebody that we're not even thinking of, whether it's a Mecole Hardman or somebody like that, that maybe it's somebody on defense that steps up and makes a play, Tremaine Edmonds or whoever it might be. On any of these teams that steps up and makes a play, and we're like, okay, we didn't see that coming. But every year it's somebody that steps up and make a play that we weren't expecting to do that. So that's going to be fun, too, to figure out who that guy might be in both of these games.
Like Chad Henne?
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Chad Henne last week. Who expected that?
No one.
No one.
That was so great. Just the reaction you can imagine in living rooms all over the country when he takes off and runs for 13 yards. Oh, my gosh. Well, it's great to talk to you again. You can find Shereen on Twitter at NFL Shereen, C-H-A-R-E-A-N, and Hall of Fame selector. She's with Pro Football Talk and has been doing this for a really long time. Happy New Year to you. Enjoy the games this weekend. Thank you so much for a few minutes.
Thank you.
Great stuff with Shereen, and we really covered everything. We ran the gamut from Hall of Fame selection to the coaching process. Eric Bieniemy right now still potentially a Houston hire, and then all the different quarterback tendrils and the various ways this could work out, the names that we covered, plus championship weekend. So I'm excited, just jazzed up, not only about the last three games we have in the NFL season, but to see the way things play out with movement among the athletes, not just quarterbacks, but others, because we know there are a lot of guys who will change teams. And then the idea that business could potentially be impacted again in the 2021 offseason by the pandemic and by a salary cap that is lowered, and by, and we already know that the combine will not take place in Indianapolis. It's going to be done virtually or on local college campuses. And how could we see this bleed through into the summer? Are we going to have OTAs again? Is it going to be a preseason with no preseason games, no exhibition games? Are they going to have training camps? Are they still going to have to go through extensive testing protocols? I mean, there are so many questions, even as we still have to finish out this 2020 campaign by crowning a Super Bowl champ. Man, it's not easy looking ahead to an offseason in which there is still so much uncertainty. Which of the championship games would you watch if you could only watch one? I know it's not a fair question, but life is not fair, so deal with it, peeps.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
This place has been kicked, it's been battered, it's been bruised, and I can sit up here and give you coach speak all day long, but none of that matters, and you guys don't want to hear it anyway. You've had enough of that, so excuse my language. This team is going to take on the identity of this city, and this city's been down, and it found a way to get up. We're going to kick you in the teeth, all right, and when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you, and when you knock us down, we're going to get up, and on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off, all right, and we're going to stand up, and then it's going to take two more shots to knock us down, all right, and on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap, and we're going to get up, and then it's going to take three shots to get us down, and when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you. Before long, we're going to be the last one standing.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Is Dan Campbell part of an Italian mob family? I mean, is that what's happening here? This seems like tactics that you might get out of, say, The Sopranos or The Godfather. And you know, we kind of nod and look the other way, but yikes. He had me until the kneecap biting. I was with him on the, we're going to kick you in the teeth. You're going to punch us in the mouth. We're going to fight. We're going to get up after you knock us down. And we're going to come back with ever more ferocity and temerity. No, not temerity. The opposite of temerity. Ferocity and fierceness. And we're going to fight back. I talk for a living. That was not great. You know, we're not going to be held down. We've been battered. We've been bruised. That's not going to be the end of our story. Awesome. But the kneecap biting.
That escalated quickly. That really got out of hand
it
fast.
It was cringy. It was a little bit like the eyes of Adam Gase boring a hole into your head. Only Dan Campbell was boring a hole into your soul with the kneecap biting. I feel like that's politically incorrect right now. It's after,
you'll never win a staring contest with the eyes of Adam Gase.
Where is Adam Gase? Has he popped up anywhere? Resurfaced? Not yet. Because former Jets head coaches tend to get jobs. Actually, lots of former fired coaches have gotten jobs. Bill O'Brien is now with Alabama. We know that Todd Bowles, as I was talking about Jets head coaches, he's landed with the Buccaneers and he's doing a great job as their defensive coordinator. We'll talk more about these two championship games coming up, but usually if you had a long history as a coordinator, and Gase was an OC for multiple teams before he got the head coaching job in Miami, usually you can find work again back in your comfort zone, so to speak. If it didn't work out as a head coach, the problem is with Adam Gase, his entire job was to develop Sam Darnold, and along with that, hopefully see the rest of the Jets organization follow along. But the offense was so bad, wasn't all on his shoulders. It definitely was not. Sam Darnold had mono, he was injured, and then the weapons, or lack thereof, around Sam Darnold certainly made a major difference. So I don't believe it was all on him. But Gase helped none at all. In fact, was more of a detriment than anything. So I don't know how quickly that translates into another job. But you know what? Bill O'Brien is now working with Nick Saban. So what am I talking about? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. If you could only watch one of the championship games coming up this Sunday, which one would it be? Jeffrey on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I want to watch the young guns in the AFC go at it. It's amazing how many of you are focused just on the quarterbacks, which absolutely is a reason to tune in. But man, these games are about so much more than just the quarterbacks. Do you know, in the AFC game alone, you have the top two receivers in terms of touchdowns this year. These two games alone, these championship games. You have the top two receiving touchdown guys. That also awkward. What is going on with me right now? You have the top two touchdown producing wide receivers. No, that sounds awkward as well. You have the guys who caught the most touchdowns this year in the NFL. Why do I have to get so flowery all the time? That was as awkward as biting kneecaps. Devontae Adams, 18 touchdown grabs this season. And then Tyreek Hill, 15 touchdown grabs this season with speed for days. How about Travis Kelce? Led the entire NFL in receiving yards this season. I mean, you've got some other incredible weapons and playmakers around these two quarterbacks in each game. And then you also have defenses that will matter, defenses that will make a difference. I really believe if you look at Packers and Bucks, as much as we want to focus on Brady and Rodgers and Brady could both have magnificent performances, and that could be what we're talking about come Sunday night. But it could also be about which team puts more pressure on the other QB. As it turns out, in the divisional game between Bucks and Saints, neither quarterback had a great game. In fact, Breeze was awful. But Tom Brady didn't play that well either. He didn't have to. He didn't have to produce these incredibly gaudy stats for the Buccaneers to win. No, it was the defense. It was the defense that put such pressure on Breeze and also made some big plays. And so I think sometimes we focus in on quarterbacks, but they could almost cancel each other out in a game in which you've got two that had such productive seasons. Mike Evans over 1,000 yards. He, I think, was in the top three. He might have been the third guy in terms of receiving touchdowns, maybe 13 this season, if I remember correctly. And so you're talking about two quarterbacks that passed for at least 40 touchdowns and had a few more on the ground. Both these offenses were prolific, though the Buccaneers went through more of a swoon. So then it stands to reason that the defenses are going to make a difference. It stands to reason that it's going to be whichever defense and defensive front can put pressure on the other quarterback, and potentially which team can win this turnover battle. So I understand we want to watch these quarterbacks. I do too. And it could be the last time. I hope it's not, but it could be the last time we ever see these two guys on the field at the same time. Though considering they're now both in the NFC, maybe it's not that unrealistic that it would happen again. But it could be the defenses that end up being the deciding factor, not the quarterbacks, because you would expect both of them to be playing at their highest level. They're both used to pressure, and you wouldn't expect either one of them to have a real crappy game. What can the defense do? For Aaron Rodgers in the divisional round, it was all about the offensive line. Yes, he was fantastic because he's locked in right now. He's in a groove. But the offensive line didn't allow a sack, only allowed a single quarterback hit. He got touched once in the entire game in the course of making a play in the pocket, or as he was on the move outside the pocket. And then there were, 160 yards rushing? Actually, no, I take that back. There were nearly 200 yards rushing for the Packers in their divisional round game against the best defense in the league, the Rams. So sometimes the difference maker is a unit or an athlete that you don't expect. Devin White for the Saints was a nightmare, right? So he had 11 tackles, 10 of them solo, an interception, really on point the entire game, and set this fierce, intense, physical, aggressive tone for the Bucs linebacking core. He was the difference maker against New Orleans. Yeah, Tom Brady was there and he didn't play poorly, but he's not the reason why they won the game. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Which of these games is can't miss for you? Which of these games is the one that you would choose if you could only watch one? That's just not fair. John is listening in Houston. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, that's not fair. That's
I know. Fair. I know.
Don't worry about speaking awkward. I still can't pronounce the enemy.
Well, it's really easy. It's just a B instead of a D, so B enemy.
Oh, okay. I got you.
There you go.
I got you. Yeah, I'll be watching Kansas City. That's going to be my next head coach, and that's who we're going to be watching. I got some news for you if you want to hear it. It hadn't made national news. It'll probably make news this morning sometime. But yesterday, McNair, the owner of the Houston Texans, reached out to Deshaun Watson and apologized to him, telling Deshaun Watson that, he's sorry that he didn't go through with what he said he was going to do with Deshaun. And so Deshaun accepted his apology, and it looks like everything's going to work out okay. But outside of that, hugs to you, and I'll hang up.
All right, sir. I appreciate it. Enjoy the game this weekend. John listening in Houston. Yeah, there's the report out there. It's been kind of on USA Today and a couple of other places where Cal McNair privately reached out to his quarterback. And, Cal has made some public comments and kind of contradicted what Deshaun had said to his people privately. But because of the fact that Deshaun had been unreachable, you wonder if this took a little extra time. So this comes from the Houston Chronicle and Aaron Wilson, who's been on the show before. He's one of the guys who reported about it, that the CEO, the Texans chairman, Cal McNair, finally got a hold of Deshaun and apologized for the way things have happened in the last couple of weeks. He goes back to the Nick Caserio hire. And remember, there were two things at play there. Number one, Deshaun gave his input and he felt like the Texans ignored it, which on a obviously, you're an athlete. You're not a coach or a general manager or the owner. So that to me is not a huge transgression. Unless Cal McNair promised Deshaun that they would hire the guy he wanted, which I have not heard reported anywhere. So I don't think it's that big of a deal that he didn't pick the guy that Deshaun Watson wanted. But maybe Deshaun felt like his opinion didn't matter or wasn't considered. The other piece of that Nick Caserio hire is that Cal McNair and the Texans front office with Jack Easterby went completely opposite the recommendations of their hiring firm. And so those were two issues that popped up right away. And you remember then that we saw the tweet from Deshaun, some things never change. He went on vacation. He wasn't in touch with the team. There were also reports that he was disgruntled, upset over the fact that neither Robert Saleh nor Eric Bieniemy were initially interviewed by the team. Bieniemy has since been interviewed, though of course Saleh has already taken a job with the New York Jets. Cal McNair reaches out, according to Aaron Wilson. He's agreeing that there needs to be better communication, which is something that Watson has been pretty open about wanting and needing for the organization. Now, whether or not you think a quarterback should be involved in the hiring process of a GM and a coach, that's probably an opinion thing. Watson certainly felt like he needed to be involved and didn't feel like his opinion was considered enough. However, the idea that there was no communication, that would bother me too. Whether or not you think my opinion is worthy when it comes to hiring my bosses, okay. But if you're not communicating and that goes against what you promised me, then I'd have a problem with it too.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.